Good evening, everybody. Regularly scheduled meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. We are starting about 5 minutes late, and I apologize for that. I am Josh Princeman. I am the chair. Let's see. We have Councillor Greenberg from Ward 1. We have Councillor Albright, President Albright from Ward 2. Councillor Wright, Ward 3. I, of course, am from Ward 4. Councillor Humphrey appears to be here from Ward 5. I believe Councillors Noel and Baker are absent. It is an excused absence. And the birthday girl, Councillor Ryan from Ward 8, is here as well. Councillor Ryan, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Does everybody have their agenda up, hopefully? The first item on our agenda is actually, you know what, let's take these out of order if folks don't mind, because I believe, I thought I saw Beth Wilkinson here. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
If folks don't mind, because Beth probably doesn't want to spend her night here, why don't we take item 302-20, which is the reappointment of Elizabeth Wilkinson to the Urban Tree Commission, out of order.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's take that first. Hopefully everybody got to see Beth's resume online. Again, this is a reappointment, but I would open it up to the committee if anyone has any questions for Beth. Or Beth, if you want to say anything, you're welcome to. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Do you want to say anything? About your experience on the Urban Tree Commission and, you know, what you'd like to do moving forward?
I have been on the Urban Tree Commission, I think it's 3 terms now. It's a hard time right now for, as everyone, as you know better than I, for tree work, but I hope over the next few years we get back to being able to have that be a high priority. I think I was also a member of the open space plan update that we just did, and a really important item for trees is making sure that heat islands throughout the city are eliminated and that we have a more equitable distribution of trees throughout the city. Clearly, we are simply, the Urban Tree Commission is simply policy advising, but we try to advocate wherever we can, and I think that's something important to be advocating for in the coming years.
Thank you, Ms. Wilkinson. I apologize. I keep calling you Beth. It's, you know, old habits. Thank you, Ms. Wilkinson. Any questions from any of the members of the committee?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Madam President, please proceed.
So, Ms. Wilkinson, when as you know, there were cuts to the amount of trees in the budget that would be planted this year, but the chief financial officer assured us that there was a huge infusion of cash into the tree fund because of some large payment. So I was just hoping that the Urban Tree Commission pays close attention to that and, you know, make sure that the trees really do get, that trees really do get planted this year out of that fund.
Okay.
So you're closer to it than we are.
I will keep an eye on that. I think what's hard too is that what Mark has been telling the administration is really important. We've been doing pretty well with planting trees. What we're not doing so well with is the survival of median age trees. We don't have quite as good a survival rate as some communities do. And part of that is just because they need more pruning, they need more watering beyond 2 years. And that's going to be really tough this year because a lot of the watering was done on overtime and all the overtime has been cut. So it's going to be a struggle for a while, but we'll get back there.
Okay. Well, I would love to move approval, so.
Oh, okay. I just have a real quick question. Is there some way that people can adopt a tree like in front of their house and then they would water it and things like that? I know pruning they won't be doing, but like watering.
There is planting that's done through the Newton Tree Conservancy. And that, well, there are two things. Newton Tree Conservancy does neighborhoods and people have to sign on at least five to eight houses and the trees are planted. But Mark was able in the past to do some individual planting if people signed on and agreed to do the watering. My guess is that's not going forward this year, but we can ask him. I'll ask him and I'll get back to you and let you know.
Yeah, I know. In my neighborhood of Lower Falls, I know there were some areas, a couple of groups that took on a bunch of trees and sort of, you know, adopted segments. But I'm sorry, Councilor Wright, go ahead.
Oh, but well, even, I don't know, letters to people who live right in front of the tree, just to remind them, you know, can you please water the tree, you know, once a week, once a month, whatever. I mean, that's you just see the tree there, you don't think about it. So something, some type of outreach to ask for it might be helpful.
That's a great idea.
That's it.
Thank you. Any other comments before Councillor Albright moves approval? Okay, Madam President?
Yeah, so I move approval, happily.
Ah. Councillor Albright has moved approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it is unanimous. Beth, congratulations at the next council meeting. I'm sure we will approve your reappointment.
Thank you.
And we will not be offended if you log off and leave and don't listen to our discussion of polling locations.
I would really like to hear it. I actually care because my parents live at Weeks, but I'm on vacation with my family, so I'm going to go have dinner with them. So
fair enough.
I will read what happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go back to the beginning of the agenda, I think. Let me just ask you, Madam President, did you want Councilor Lipoff to be here with you, or are you okay with this one on your own?
He's at Public Safety, and they have quite an interesting agenda, so.
He's at Public Safety. I just texted him to see if he wanted to come over. He's happy to come over if you want him. I'm happy to wait or do it now.
It's up to him. I mean, I don't mind. I would love to have him here, but if he's in the middle of something, I don't want to disturb him.
Okay, I tell you what, let's go to the other items first. We'll see how the clerk is able to handle these difficult polling location moves, and then maybe we'll go back and discuss his salary based exclusively on his performance tonight. Okay, so if...
Thanks.
No pressure.
I shouldn't kid, I'm sorry. All right, item 307-20. This is a request to move the Ward 2 Precinct 2 polling location. Mr. Olson, my understanding is that you're going to be sort of talking about each one of these. And I assume it's easiest to do them one at a time, right?
I've got a presentation. I'm going to talk about all of them.
Okay. Let me just introduce all the items then, and we'll handle them all. Okay. Are committee members okay with that? You folks feel like we can? Okay. So in addition to item 307-20, the request to move the Ward 2 Precinct 2 polling location, this is also item 308-20, request to move the Ward 2 Precinct 3 polling location. Item 309-20, request to move the Ward 6 Precinct 2 polling location. Item 310-20, request to move the Ward 5 Precincts 3 and 4 polling location. We will now entertain all of those items, and we will hear from the clerk, Mr. David Olson.
Right. Very good. Thank you. I'm going to share a screen with you, I hope. I've got a PowerPoint here. And this will just go through the different options for changing and moving polling locations.
Excellent.
All of the options that I'm going to present to you tonight are specifically because of COVID-19, we are going to move these polling locations. And you've got four docket items. I'm actually going to ask for you to NAN one of them and approve the other three, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Our first move is from Cabot Park Village, which is an assisted living facility off of Newtonville Avenue. It's Ward 2, Precinct 2, to move that to the Cabot School. A few years ago, when Cabot started to go under renovations, we moved out of Cabot School over to Cabot Park Village while the work was being done at the school. Cabot Park Village has worked out extremely well for us, but we are very concerned, and they are as well, about bringing individuals in to the assisted living facility. So we are proposing to move back to the Cabot School into their new cafeteria. For those of you that may have been involved in the recount last year, this is the space that we'll be using as our polling location. And for 2020 anyway, the school will be closed on both election days. It's going to be closed on September 1st and closed on November 3rd, regardless of what the school ends up doing this fall. Superintendent of schools has already said that there'll be no classes in the buildings on either of those days. The second is the Wobbin Library Center. We're moving this to the Zervis School. Although this doesn't seem like a COVID problem, it is because the Wobbin Library Center is so tight. We have one entrance in and out of the facility. It's a single door and two precincts within the building. And to accommodate social distancing and just getting in and out of the building, we have decided that we need to move out of Wobbin Library Center again for the 2020 elections, and we're going to move back to the Zervis School. Again, this was a move that was made back when Zervis was under renovation, and we're going to go back and use their new gym as the precinct, Ward 5, Precinct 3 and 4 voting location. Basically, it's just down the street. Wobbin Library Center is at 1608 Beacon Street. Zervis Elementary School is on the corner of Beacon and Beethoven. And as I said, both precincts will be in the new gym. The third is the Weeks House. We're going to move the Weeks House voting to Bowen School. This is Ward 6, Precinct 2. The Weeks House is a senior housing facility at 7 Harold Road. And we're going to move it to the Bowen Elementary School on Cypress Street. We already use the Bowen School as a location for Ward 6, Precinct 1. So this will become a dual precinct for 2020. And again, the school will be closed. We'll be using two separate spaces within the building for both of our elections in 2020. And then I had also asked for the senior center, but in conversations with the senior center staff, it was determined that the senior center is not going to open to the public for either of these elections. They expect they still will be closed by early November. If they do decide to open up, they will close on election day. And so we are going to continue to use the senior center on Walnut Street as a polling location to help avoid confusion. And since there will be no seniors in the building that day, it didn't make sense to move it down the street to Newton North High School. So we are looking to move just the three locations that I mentioned. We're going Cabot Park Village to Cabot School, the Wobbin Library Center to the Zervis School, and the Weeks House to the Bowen School. Does anybody have any questions?
All right, thank you, Mr. Olson. Appreciate it. Folks, please feel free to put your hand up if you do have questions. I think it would be appropriate if anyone wanted to make a motion to NAN 30820, which, if I'm not mistaken, David, that's the one, that's the senior center one.
The senior center. Yes.
So now accepting motions to NAN item 30820.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Chairman.
Councilor Greenberg. Councilor Greenberg has moved to NAN 308-20. Any discussion? All those in favor of NAN?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. That is a unanimous 6-0. NAN on 308-20. Okay, now back to the other items. David, if I could just ask you a couple of quick questions.
Sure.
The Cabot Park Village one?
Yes.
Obviously, there would be a potential consideration about the folks who live there, who it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them to vote. But my understanding, I think from what you said, is that the folks at Cabot Park Village actually are requesting this move, and this is their preference. Is that correct?
It is, and with vote by mail in both elections, it's going to be very easy for them to actually vote. So they will be able to easily vote by mailing in their ballots. They won't have to leave the facility.
Okay. Thank you. The other question I wanted to ask, I recall that the Zervis School used to be used as the dual polling location. For how many elections or how many years has it been at the Wobbin Library? Do you know?
I don't remember the exact year, but it's probably been 3 or 4 years at this point. It was in the old gym at Zervis for quite a while. And again, when that building started to go under renovation, we moved out to the Wobbin Library Center, which worked beautifully for up till this point. And unfortunately, we just can't accommodate social distancing and using it as two precincts. So we would like to go back to the new, much larger gym in the new Zervis school.
Okay, I'm not filibustering here, but I'm not seeing other hands up, so I'm happy to stop talking if anyone has a question. President Albright.
I have a question. So is the polling place that you moved into this year, is it 2-1 from the Horace Mann School? Is that big enough for social distancing?
Actually, yes. The Albemarle Field House will work for us, so we don't want to move them again. But we can definitely accommodate social distancing within the precinct. One of the things that is going to happen this time around is that there will be no check-out table. So there will only be a check-in table and the warden's table and the voting booths in all of these locations. The legislation for the fall elections has eliminated the need for a check-out table. Which will help us in a variety of ways. It does open up space within all of our polling locations for social distancing, but also that's two less people that we need at the polling location to staff it. And we are concerned that we're going to get enough people to staff all of our locations. We are planning to open all 32 polling locations. We have a good number of people who have already committed to working both elections, and we're doing a lot of recruiting of new poll workers. So I'm confident that we will have enough people to staff the 32 locations. Many of those people are also very willing to work the early voting, which will be at the Newton Library this year. We're going to do it in Drucker Auditorium for the week ahead of the September 1st election.
Great.
I think David did a really good job of explaining it, but for those who don't know, there are certain requirements under state law about how we run our elections. And the state legislature, and signed by the governor, passed a particular law regarding the upcoming September and November elections. It's what led to the secretary mailing every registered voter an application for an absentee ballot. And that same legislation eliminated, at least for these two elections, the primary and the general, the need to have a checkout table, which for those of you who go and vote in person, you always go pick up your ballot, you go vote, and then before you actually put your ballot in the machine, you check out at a table of folks, say who you are again, and they sort of check you off as having voted. So there are plenty who think that that is somewhat unnecessary and have tried to use those individuals for other things like same-day registration, or other potentially more useful things, but I think it was a good move that for these two elections that won't be necessary. The clerk will be able to use those potential poll workers in other ways. Councilor Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Olson, will folks be turned away if they're not wearing a mask if they vote in person, and will there be masks available for those folks?
We are going to encourage mask use, but we will not turn anyone away. Our poll workers are going to be given face shields, gloves, and try to protect them as much as they can. We will have extra, and they will also have masks, and we will have extra masks if someone is willing to wear a mask but has forgotten to bring one. So yes, but we are not going to turn a voter away if they refuse to put a mask on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Greenberg. Councilor Humphrey.
Yes, thank you. So clarifying question. So did you say that the early voting will be in the library and not at all in City Hall, or both?
No, it will only be at the library in Drucker Auditorium.
Okay.
It's going to be much easier to handle, again, the social distancing and the crowds over there than it would be in City Hall.
Right.
For those of you who have been to early voting in City Hall, we've done it in the hallways in the past, and it gets quite crowded and quite hard to manage sometimes. We were looking at the War Memorial as a place to do it, but even on a good day, people get lost trying to find it.
Right.
The Drucker Auditorium is, I think, going to be a much better place. There are two doors from the interior, one door to the exterior. We can have a flow of people very easily in and out, not falling over each other. The building itself is near the parking lot. People don't have to walk. So there'll be, you know, somebody who has mobility issues can pull up to the curb, walk over the bridge, and be in the space.
Okay, and then my other question was, are these changes permanent until revised again, or is there some sort of, like, this is a temporary request and it would snap back after a certain time period?
We are not putting a time period on this, but we may come back to you in fall next year to change things again if we deem it necessary. We just have this play it by year at this point, but we are asking for this to be a change, permanent change, but we can always come back and ask for them things to change again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Humphrey. I was actually going to ask a similar question, which was, I realize we're making these changes at the moment without a definitive time frame, and you know, you're certainly welcome to come back every time you need to change them. But my question was around the preference of whether you think these are actually better locations than they would have been, regardless of COVID. You know, in normal times, are these preferential locations? I feel like we used to be at the Zervas. Maybe that speaks to the nature of the preference there. I don't know. But also, I wonder whether the fact that schools will be closed on those days is a major factor in that consideration. So I just wanted to let you weigh in on that.
Yes, schools being closed in 2020 is a major factor in that. You know, we will have to see as we go forward into 2021 what the superintendent is willing to do in terms of school and whether the schools are willing to have us stay there. I'm not making any promises about anything at this point. Unfortunately, our goal is to survive this year and figure this all out next year.
That's a commonly held goal by people all over the place, even when they're not talking about voting. So I support that. Are there any more comments that folks want to make? Okay.
There are no further comments on the changes. I just wanted to also add that we will be notifying all of the voters that are voting in these precincts as we did this in March. We will be looking to send out a postcard to all of the affected individuals to let them know that they where their new polling location will be. So that will be coming.
My recollection was that for the Albemarle, the Horace Mann to Albemarle Fieldhouse, you had a pretty good plan in place, which was a card mailed to every home. And then I think you had sandwich boards on the day of directing people should they have missed the notifications, right, so that they could find the correct polling location or at least an indication of where it is. Is that, I would assume, but I don't want to speak for you. Yeah, similar plan.
That is exactly the case. And what I've got up on the screen right now is the polling move postcard that we used back in March. We'll do the exact same similar thing for each of the polling locations that we're moving this time. With a little map and an explanation of where their new location is going to be. So that is coming. We'll send those out probably the day after the council officially votes to accept all of these. We'll have it all ready to go, and we'll just put it in the mail on August 11th to let people know, get that out in time for them. For those who haven't already voted by mail, if they want to go to the polling location, they can do that. I just wanted to also point out, this is, if you haven't received one or didn't receive one, this is what the vote by mail application looks like. This was mailed to every registered voter in Massachusetts who had not already requested an absentee ballot for 2020. So if you didn't get one of these, it may be that you had already requested an absentee ballot ahead of time. This has gone out, and we are starting to see them come back. Picture here on the left is the mail from Tuesday. What's on the counter and in the box here are all of the applications that came in on the mail on Tuesday morning. And we also are getting applications dropped off in the two drop boxes out front of City Hall. So we are starting to see a good response to vote by mail. And I expect we will see more of this over the next few days as we continue to get these and process them and wait. Right now we're waiting for the ballots. The state has not delivered the ballots yet. So as soon as we get the ballots, we will be ready to go for those who've already returned their applications to get those mailed out.
So the city actually facilitates the vote by mail by sending the ballots?
The city has to send the ballots, yes. So the applications come back to my office. Put that information into the voter registration database, and then we send the ballots. I don't know exactly how many, but there's at least 351 different ballot styles for each community. And so each community is taking the responsibility of getting the ballots for its voters. I think having the state or a company try to do that and get the right ballot to the right individual would probably been a little bit more problematic than leaving it up to the city clerks and city tech clerks.
And then you submit the costs for reimbursement from the state?
So the envelopes for mailing are all have a postage paid indicia on them that the state is paying. Okay. So we are not paying the postage. We are not paying for the printing. That is all through the state. The state is not reimbursing us our time for doing all this processing, but they are covering the costs, or at least the Secretary of the Commonwealth's office is covering the costs for the ballots, the mailing, the envelopes to mail, all of that. Starting today, you should start to see around the city our sandwich boards going out. This is the one that was put up in front of City Hall. And this is specifically for the September 1st election, letting people know all the ways that they can participate in the election on September 1st. And we also have all of this information on the city's website under elections, and also sample ballots there for people to take a look at.
It is so easy to vote.
I am hoping it's easy to vote, yes.
Everyone would take advantage of
that. That's everything that I've got for tonight for this.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Councilor Ryan, I apologize. It's taking me a few minutes to get over to you.
Yeah. So is it, I'm not even sure, is it appropriate for me to ask Mr. Olson a question about one of the other polling places that's not on the agenda?
Sure. I'll be willing to answer. Sure.
Okay. What 8 precinct 4, the Schulman Center?
Yes.
I just thought of it now because we were talking about safety and the polling places and everything. That's a very small location. And if where the table is, where you check in, is where usually they have people come and go, and it's very tight right there. Mm-hmm. So what I was wondering is if maybe you could, it's up to you, but and if you decide to do it, send out instructions to the captains and everything at the Schulman Center. We could use that back door that is used for is the handicap entrance, because mm-hmm. there's no step, but it doesn't matter. I mean, some people actually use it to leave anyway. And that's where the checkout table usually is. So that would be all free there. And that's usually where the machine is to put your ballot. So I was wondering, I mean, you know the location. Do you, mm-hmm. I think that would be a good idea to have you come in, check in, go to the left, do your ballot, put it in the machine, and then it's just a flow. You walk right out the back door.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because we were on the same page with that completely. We were thinking the exact same thing. And one of the reasons why we chose not to move the Schumann Center, because we can make it work there. Without the checkout table and a door on either side of the space, we are going to take advantage of that and have one door in and one door out. And it's not that far from the back door to circle back around to the front of the building. So yes, we definitely are considering that and will be doing that. The Schumann Center is not the only place where we may be changing up the flow within the space. We're going to be doing training with all of the wardens and clerks to get everything set up appropriately and keep social distancing and make these elections work as smoothly as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Ryan. Last question from me, Mr. Olson.
Yes.
I've heard sort of conflicting information. Mail-in ballots and absentee ballots are they counted at the polling location? Are they counted separately? Is there an additional administrative burden or an additional lift for the mail-in ballots?
So for this particular election, what the state is allowing us to do is to treat absentee and mail-in ballots exactly the same. So we will be doing a central tabulation facility at Newton City Hall before the election day in September and in November, where we will process all of the absentee and by mail ballots without sending them out to the polling locations. So the only thing that's going to be counted at the polling location are those ballots that are cast at the polling location. Everything else is going to be cast at our central tabulation facility at City Hall. The state is allowing us to sort of run those through the AccuVote machines as we get them. But we are not going to do that. We are going to wait until after early voting is over, but before Election Day, and bring in poll workers to run those ballots through the AccuVote machines without putting the ender cards through, without actually getting a total on those until the polls close on Election Day. And just as we did in March, we have two memory cards for each precinct. One with the central tabulation numbers, one with what came from the precinct itself, and our IT department puts both of those memory cards into the computer, tallies based on the total vote. So you will know what the total vote was by precinct, but it's coming from two different memory cards.
And so I'm wondering sort of an application, what, if any, the differences between these mail-in ballots and your traditional absentee ballots would be. My understanding is that absentee ballots are sometimes tabulated after Election Day.
So
am I wrong about that?
You are wrong about that. Absentee ballots are tabulated at a normal election. Absentee ballots would go out to the polling location. They would be run through the AccuVote machines with all the other ballots that were being cast in person that day. Two state elections ago, they allowed central tabulation where community could choose to not move those ballots, not move the early ballots out to the polling locations, but tabulate them at wherever their early voting location was. So this has been expanded for our fall elections this year. So it's not just the early voted ballots, but it's the by mail ballots, the in-person early voting, and the absentee all being allowed to be tabulated in a central tabulation facility.
And so in practice, there's no difference between voting by mail and absentee voting?
There is not. And actually, I'm going to throw up on the screen here one of our sample ballots. So you can see this is the Democratic Party, but the ballot is actually called early/absentee. We don't have separate ballots for early and absentee. It's just one ballot for both.
Okay. Councillor President Albright, did you take your hand down intentionally?
You're yes, because okay. The clerk already answered my question.
Okay. Councillor Humphrey.
Just clarifying question following up on what Chairman Crinsman just asked. Presumably, though, you could have a...
Councillor Humphrey, did we lose you?
Did we lose him?
We heard up to presumably you could have a... Doesn't look like you muted.
You could guess what the rest of the sentence was.
Presumably you could have a stable connection, but possibly you don't. Yep, go ahead. Yep.
I don't know. I got some on-screen alert, but I don't know. I've never seen that one before. Okay, so my question was basically if, like, you could have a scenario where someone mails in their ballot, whatever you want to call it, an early or absentee or whatever, mails in their ballot kind of on the late side, couldn't it potentially arrive like on election day or after election day, in which case you couldn't count it beforehand?
So ballots can be returned to the city clerk's office by the close of polls on election day. And yes, if they come in on election day, towards the end of the day, those may get counted and added as a hand count after the fact. But we will try to get as many of them run through the AccuVote machine as possible. But every election, those last minute ballots are hand counted and added to the totals for the certified results after the election.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking, I'd been following some of the elections in other states that were happening this summer where they were really struggling to deal with a lot of these, you know, unprecedented challenges. And in some cases, like I think Kentucky and New York, they were often not getting results figured out until well after because people had mailed it in so late that, you know, it was postmarked in time to be eligible, but it didn't actually arrive until, you know, days or a week later.
Right. For the September election, the legislation states that it has to be in our office by the close of polls.
Okay.
For November 3rd, however, it has to be postmarked by election day, but I believe it gives us up to 5 days for that to get to us. So as long as it's postmarked by election day, and it comes in after that, for the next 5 days, we can still count those ballots.
Thank you.
All right, I am seeing no other hands up. I think I have probably filibustered long enough and asked a lot of questions, but I'm happy to take these as a group. It's items 307-20, 309-20, and 310-20 because I have not heard a lot of particular questions about individual locations. So if anyone wants to hold any one of those items, you know, aside, that's fine. Otherwise, I'm sorry, Councillor Harvey, did you move approval of all three?
Yes.
Terrific. Any discussion on that? Terrific. All those in favor of approving 307, 309, and 310-20?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? It is unanimous.
I forgot to unmute, but yes.
Thank you. 6-0 is unanimous. Thank you very much. And that brings us to our last item of the evening. This is item 306-20. This is a request for salary increase for the city clerk/clerk of the city council. This was docketed by Councillors Albright and Lipoff. Madam President Albright, I did a text with Councillor Lipoff who said that he felt confident with you handling it.
Yes.
So if you want to start, I'm happy to call him in, but
he texted me as well. He said, let them know that he's with me in approving David's increase. Those are his exact words. Okay. So as some of you may know, and some of you may not know, the clerk's salary is by ordinance. Is that not correct, Mr. Olson?
That is correct. Yes.
And so it's up to us to approve his salary, and the comparable employees in City Hall got a 3% raise, a cost of living raise.
Comparable by pay grade, right?
Step raise, yep. Yeah, comparable by grade. And
because he is incomparable, yep.
Yes, so it is up to our committee to vote this salary increase for the clerk. And I wholeheartedly, and as you know, Councilor Lipov wholeheartedly asks you to approve this salary increase.
Thank you, Madam President. Yep. Councilor Lipov, Vice President Lipov, said that he is in PS&T and he supports the great work that the clerk does, supports the raise. I think he used the sarcastic font, but I can't tell. So I'll just assume it was genuine. Yep, I think the president summed it up beautifully. Essentially, you know, the equivalent employees across the city who were at a comparable pay grade due to their grade level, they are able to receive steps and able to receive annual increases. Simply through, you know, operation of law, and the mayor is able to increase those pay grades. However, the only way to increase the salary of the clerk is through a vote of the city council. And so from time to time, this is something that we take on. And
why is it with the, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Why is it with the city council?
Because of the way the ordinances are set up, and he's both the clerk, for the city as well as the clerk of the council. And so we retain that authority to determine the salary.
Mr. Olson is one of our huge staff of two.
Oh, I'm totally in support of Mr. Olson and the work he does, but I just find it weird that the city council has to vote on it versus the rest of the comparable people, their salaries don't.
Yeah, and when we say comparable, we're talking about, you know, like commissioner level, right? There's a level of employee, right. And I don't know the exact designations of the salary grades, but I know that the clerk's salary is at a grade with, you know, comparable people across the city, and that unfortunately he's not able to get a raise from year to year without coming before us.
And that really is because my salary is delineated in the city ordinances. And the only way to change the salary in the ordinances is for the council to do that. So it is not, if you look back to the budget, you'll see that my salary is level funded from fiscal 20 to fiscal 21 in the budget book. And that is because the mayor can't do that. She can't change the ordinances. It is the city council that can change the ordinances.
So notwithstanding the objections of Vice President Lipov and apparently Councillor Wright, are there any other discussion items? I'm just kidding, Councillor Wright. Don't worry. I know it wasn't an actual objection. Okay. Having said that, did someone want to make a motion to, here, let me just read the full item. It's requesting an increase in the salary of the city clerk to $143,911. This would be effective July 1st, 2020, because that's the start of the fiscal year, to match the percentage increase included in the FY21 budget for H-grade employees. That's the designation.
I would like to, unless Councilor Ryan would like to.
Yeah, I'll move.
Good.
Councilor Ryan has moved approval. Before anyone speaks against this, I want to remind you that it is her birthday. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? That is 6-0. Congratulations, Mr. Clerk.
Thank you very much.
And I believe that concludes our business for the evening. Did anyone have anything else they needed to get off their chest? Okay. Then I have a wonderful rest of July. I'm sorry?
That's what I said. Enjoy the rest of July.
Enjoy the rest of July. And we will adjourn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Bye.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.